I'm giving you this scenario because this is the most common scenario in most markets. 80% of the properties fall into this. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore. We're back with Whiskey Wednesday, main man, Jake Sheehy.
Yes, sir.
Back in action, back in the studio.
Yes, sir.
Been traveling a little bit this last week.
Woo!
Great time.
Five days on the road.
Yeah.
Fantastic stuff happening. Really great stuff. Happy. We had Tampa. Very exciting. Let's just kind of go brief, huh?
Tampa. It was fun.
Yeah. Who went, when, where, why?
We had the fortunate event to go do a kind of immersive case study at Dan and Claudia Gorman's properties. Four amazing properties all operating at the very top of that market, a market of almost 11,000 homes. And so we were able to go kind of check out. And they were kind enough to let us and about 50 of our Vodacy family members go in and stay in the properties. And we got to hang out for 4 days. And did a lot of workshopping and a lot of networking and a lot of good things coming out of those conversations. And so just a really, fun place to be in those rooms. You know, there's always power in proximity and being around people that are operating at high level, people that are wanting to do the same thing you were doing. And that was what Tampa was for us. And man, beautiful weather. You know, a lot of people are still reeling from that major storm, still shoveling out from it.
Not us
in Utah. It's cold. We still have sun. We have zero snow.
Yeah.
All of us that want snow in the ski resort areas, we're not getting it. But everybody else got it.
Yeah.
And so, but not in Tampa either.
Man, Tampa, the weather was fantastic. First and foremost, I'll put the links to Dan's properties in the bio, so you go check it out so you can see for yourself what these amazing properties looked like. It was really interesting to see like how it's turned into like a family affair now that you get like the kids involved, you know, the daughter, 20 years old, being a property manager, running these amazing properties. You have a son who's now has his own property and they branched off and they're doing their thing. And it's like, wow, this, the way it's evolved is really beautiful. Then of course, you know, we had some fun times, you know, we had Topgolf, we had some great food, some amazing networking. It was all around. And also we got to meet some new people.
Yeah.
Some new people came and they, just got a little sneak peek into the program. And it was fantastic getting to meet those people and being around the collective mindset of just hard workers who want to better themselves and better their lives. It's always great.
It was fun. They're amazing events. You kind of come away and you're exhausted. We're going from 8 a.m. till basically midnight for 5 straight days.
Yeah.
And so we're, there's not a lot of like trying to rest and rejuvenate. How we get back and we're like, we're back at it.
Back in the saddle, man. We're getting after it.
In the saddle, let's do it.
All right, so we're going over marketing today. That's going to be our main thing. We're talking. Okay, let's go through. We're talking about photos, the layout of your photo, your title and headline, reviews. If you should have a social media to promote your property, what really is marketing when it comes to your property? I can word that differently later. Discounts, running ads, and the ultimate goal of marketing. That's kind of the layout of what we're talking about today. First point, photos. Let's talk about, I feel like we touched on this a little bit about in Tampa, and we really talked about how setting the scenes is huge. And though some people may also set the scenes and setting the scenes of s'mores and charcuterie boards or champagne flutes, these kinds of things, maybe some other people are going to do it. But how does we have an extra tip for setting the scenes, I guess, and maybe not tip, but for design, other people will maybe set the scenes, but they don't do it as well with our style.
Yeah. So when it comes, like we always have here at Vodacy, and if you've read my book or you've listened to us long enough, we focus on three major phases. And we've had a couple episodes where we focused on the acquisition side, which is buying the right property in the right location, right? Mm-hmm. And then the setup and management side, which is setup is all about design and designing around a target audience to create a unique experience and then having the management in place to deliver that experience. And then we have that marketing phase, right? So when we talk about marketing, it's taking that great property in the great location, the decisions we made along, in our acquisition, the decisions we made to set up and create a unique experience for our guests and being able to articulate that. Mm. And in our world, the only way for us to articulate that is in a listing. And so we have words that we can write, we have headlines that we can put, and we have photos that we can share. And we don't have the ability usually to talk to somebody, they can't come sit on the couches. They can't feel, how nice is the pool. They can't see the view until they book the property. So we have to do a great job of articulating this. And those listings allow us to do a few different things with them, which is, you know, on your Airbnb listing, mm-hmm. your Vrbo listing, your personal website, you're basically sharing the same information. However, where the consumer is judging you mm-hmm. strictly is how good are you articulating that through the photos. Mm. And this is where another place where a lot of people struggle. Mm. And, you know, you hear me say, this is where people mess up. Obviously, we want you to not mess up, and we want you to double down on what works. And so we also share what doesn't work so you don't do it. Right. And one of the things that we do with the photography is naturally people go out and they hire a real estate photographer right. who is used to selling real estate. They're used to articulating great properties so that somebody wants to buy those properties. So a homeowner wants to buy that property. Well, we're not trying to get somebody to buy this property. We're trying to get somebody to come stay at our property. Mm. It's different. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get them to have an experience at our property. And so you mentioned setting different scenes mm-hmm. and you where we bring in props. And what we want the guests to do is look at this and make it seem like they just stepped away from the party, right? And so if you think about any commercial, a boat, a car, a theme park, whatever, they don't just show you the boat, the car, or the theme park. It always has people doing stuff, enjoying it, driving it, you know, going down the rides, big smiles on their face. Well, with people and models and everything that do that, that's a great way to kind of articulate what it would be like to use our product, right? Mm. There are some short-term rentals that use people in them. And so most of the time we don't. In fact, we suggest that it is not where you should start unless you're a professional and you know how to do that, because if it's done incorrectly, it actually really hurts your listing.
Yeah.
Done correctly, it can be even better than just setting a point of view type of a scene that looks like you stepped away.
Right.
But most people, the budgets and the time and the skill sets it takes to actually have models and people in your property, you know, with all these different scenes and articulating all these different things they're going to be doing, so that is much more difficult to pull off than a lot of people think. And so we suggest that you don't run down that road. Now, if you have the skill set and you think you're good at it, that actually can work out really well. There's very, very, very few people who do. Mm-hmm. And we are not one of them, right? Mm-hmm. I will admit that we have tried. We've hired modeling agencies and crews and commercial shoots. And by the time you get a shoot that actually looks good, there is very difficult to get a return on that investment. Mm-hmm. We had one shoot where we were trying to set up and we were getting it quoted out for almost $60,000. So there's not a return on that. These photo shoots are already expensive, let alone, you know, bring in, you know, the production crew in that we wanted to do to articulate this. So what the whole point of this is, we have to bring these properties to life, and we have to bring the properties to life when the consumer sees it, to where they start to visualize and think, how, you know, what am I going to be doing? How am I going to be experiencing this property, this area, everything else? And that comes down to your photos. And we call them lifestyle photo shoots, you know, and you can go look at a lot of the photos that we've shared on these podcasts, on our Experts Corner podcast, where we bring in top 1% members that are operating at a very high level. And you can go look at it. Success leaves clues, right? Yep. Go, you know, recreate it. It's not just grabbing a charcuterie board and a bottle of wine. No, right? It's, you know, that stuff is part of it, but it is, how are you doing that throughout the property to really articulate that experience? Mm. So the reason we focus so much there is that is where the consumers, like, they don't read your description. They don't read how close you are to stuff until they're ready to book.
Right.
They're not making their decisions on your headlines. Mm-hmm. You know, that they're making their decisions. Marketing is attracting a customer, getting him to stop the scroll. I got to stop the scroll. I got to have a pattern interrupt. I got to get him to stop just scrolling through stuff. I need to attract him. Then I need to get them to my listing, and they have to stay long enough to where we can convert them. And those photos are what's going to convert them. Right. And so that's where we spend so much time and effort and, frankly, money. These are not cheap photo shoots.
Right.
We're usually budgeting, depending on the square footage of the home and what you're really trying to articulate, you're going to be somewhere between $5,000 and probably $10,000 to $12,000 on a lifestyle type photo shoot. Now, still, it's not $60,000, but that's still a hell of a lot more than a $500 real estate photo shoot.
Right. 100%. Now, I want to make this point. I think it's very, very a necessity that someone may be listening and think, oh, my property's struggling, I should redo my photos, right? we touched on this in Tampa a little bit, that I think you had a great saying. What I'm trying to think of it, you can put lipstick on a pig, but you, or what was the saying?
Yeah, marketing is, so everybody thinks marketing is going to save the problem.
Right.
If you didn't buy the right property in the right location, mm-hmm. if you didn't set it up to create a unique experience, design it correctly, marketing, the best marketing is not going to save that property. It's like putting lipstick on a pig. And the more things you didn't do, the uglier that pig is. And that lipstick has zero chance of helping it.
Right.
And so really what marketing is doing is really taking all of the decisions you've made up to this point, which really is doing 95% of the heavy lifting in your marketing. Mm. Because if you have the right property in the right location, if you set it up and you've designed it to create a unique experience for a target audience, the marketing is the marketing is easy, right? All we're doing is adding fuel to a fire that is already burning. But we have to make sure that we're there. And you're not going to skip ahead and save a good or a property that you missed on those other two steps. They're steps for a reason, and they're sequential for a reason. They all build on each other. Mm. And I always say, you have to dial in all three of those phases in order to get your unfair share of business and put yourself at the top of these markets. If you dial in one of the three, you're going to really struggle. If you dial in two of the three, you may struggle a little bit less, but you're still going to struggle. You have to dial in all three of them. And so marketing a property or trying to do all this on a property that doesn't have the right design and is just looks like a model home, but it might be in a great location, isn't going to work very well. If I have a really bad property in a bad location, well, now you're really dead in the water, right? Because nobody wants to go there.
This is like an odd question, but what do you think is like the percentage of finding the property that's in a good location, in proximity to the profit drivers, and the layout is nice? Would you give that like a really high percentage, and then the marketing is kind of like the cherry on top? Or is it kind of just equally dispersed, do you think?
When you say in order, like in importance, or like what are you saying?
I'm trying to think, like if your property is 20 minutes away from the beach,
right?
Just because you have great photos, I mean, you know, now I would say that the proximity that would have 90% is more valuable than the marketing, because you're further away. But then I'm also like curious of the percentage of all three steps. Is it kind of just equal?
It's very equal, right? Uh-huh. Because so take that example. If you have a property that is in good proximity, right by the beach, and it's got the right location, the right proximity, maybe I'm beachfront, right?
Yeah.
And so I've got where everybody wants to go. Mm-hmm. I check that box. But then let's say I just put it together like a model home.
Right.
So I miss on really, really giving them a reason to pick my property on the beach be above everybody else's, because guess what else is on the beach?
Everybody else.
Other houses.
Right.
Yeah. So other people have the exact same proximity as you. Mm-hmm. And so then I come in, let's say I skip step two. I kind of put a model home together. I'm giving you this scenario because this is the most common scenario in most markets. 80% of the properties fall into this. They are actually good properties in good locations. They're set up like model homes, so they become a commodity because everybody else looks the same. Mm. And then they try to do really good marketing. The marketing is all they're doing is highlighting a commodity, right? So you didn't give the consumer in that second step. You didn't select a target audience. You didn't create a unique experience. You didn't have it designed for that experience.
Right.
And then you go to articulate what you have. You're articulating a really good property in a really good location that looks like everybody else's, right? So now let's take the opposite of saying, hey, listen, I bought a property that's 20 minutes from the beach in a beach community.
Right.
And so now there's not a lot of people that want to go there. So, and then let's say I created a really nice experience, but I was creating a beach experience that's 20 minutes away from the beach, right? And I say, okay, I designed this experience. I think I'm in a beach community. That's missing on the right property in the right location for who you're trying to do, right? And then I bring in all my marketing, and then everybody's mad because they're saying, hey, listen, this looks really good.
Right.
It's created really nice, but I showed up and I'm 20 minutes from the beach. I thought it was by the beach. I thought it was in a beach community, right? It's a problem as well, because I was actually able to probably attract them and convert them if they weren't familiar with the area. If they are familiar with the area, they just won't buy it. They won't book it, right? But you're going to be in trouble either way.
Yeah.
And that's another miss. Those misses are less likely than the first miss. Mm-hmm. Naturally, people usually select good properties in good locations mm-hmm. where people want to go. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that they're always going to have a good ratio on their investment mm-hmm. because sometimes those good properties in good locations cost more than the revenue they can generate. So right. you have to really understand all of that. But when it comes to the importance of each one of those steps, they're all equal. You really have to have all three of them dialed in.
Okay.
And they're not equal in necessarily time and effort or money, mm. right? Acquisition phase is going to, you know, you're probably spending a little bit more time underwriting deals, looking at deals. You have a lot of money invested when you're buying properties. Mm. Setup phase, you got a lot of, you know, a lot of effort depending on if you're doing it or somebody else is doing it, but a lot of money there spent. Right. Marketing phase actually is probably the least amount of money you're going to spend if you did everything else right in the other place and mm. the least amount of time. And then you're just kind of you're kind of moving forward, but it's just as important as all the rest.
Mm, really interesting. Okay, now let's go into this one. The layout of our photos. I thought a fantastic example was one of our members. He has this, I mean, absolutely amazing, beautiful property. I believe in Bradenton, Florida. Mm-hmm. I'll put the link in the bio so people can look at it. It's this beautiful property, and we were talking about it in Tampa, and he had changed his first. Was magnet photo, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And you change it to something else. So let's talk about the importance of the first five photos.
Yeah. So you look at your photos in three different, through three different lenses. The first photo has to stop the scroll. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't necessarily have to, sell the entire property. Mm-hmm. And so most, like naturally people will lead with some of their biggest amenities.
Right.
And they'll lead with or exterior photos of the home, a whole picture of the home or the living room, right? And mm-hmm. so I'll usually go in and look and say, look what everybody else is highlighting here. So one, we're looking for something that is going to stop the scroll. Sometimes right. that is a key amenity, but we're looking for color contrast, some things that will evoke emotion. And it's not always the main amenity that you have. Mm-hmm. Because if you're in an area with a lot of pools, everybody's showing a pool.
Right.
So, and depending right. on how your pool is set up, if it looks like everybody else's pool, it's not stopping the scroll.
Right.
So I'm looking for something that is going to evoke emotion, typically with color. Like, right. So it's going to be a very bold, one of my boldest, like scroll stopping photos.
Mm.
The next thing that I'm trying to do is sell the property and get you interested in the whole thing and clicking, I want to see more with my first five photos. And so here we're going to have very little redundancy. We're going to start to show the highlights, the main amenities in the house, because now I got you stop the scroll. Now I got to get your attention to this might be a really fun place to hang out. Then we walk them through the property.
Mm, wow. Okay. So just to recap here, someone's on Airbnb and they're looking at their area and they're looking at the competitors. And a lot of people may have gray styled homes. So you may put a big, if you have an orange room or a yellow room, you may have that pop of color right. there to stop it.
Right.
Or if some people are showing off the really big pool, you don't want to put also your really nice pool
right.
just because you spent a lot of money on it.
Yeah, right. Unless it pops, unless it stops, right? You got to look at it through the lens of a consumer. I mean, I do property audits all the time, and we look at it, and we're looking at it and saying, and when we're scrolling, if I see your property, I'll pull it up on Airbnb, and I'll just do an incognito search, and I'll scroll with people and so that they understand what I'm talking about, and we'll scroll. If you're blending into the crowd, you're not a scroll stopper, right? So a lot of times those really bold, bright, colorful rooms, if you've got them in your design, those will stop the scroll. Sometimes it is a major amenity. Most of the time it's not, because usually if it's a major amenity, your other competitors have that and they're probably putting it in there. Mm-hmm. And so even though you have some of that, but sometimes your amenities they have enough boldness and color to them that they can stop the scroll. Not always though. And so there's not a general rule of thumb other than understanding what is your, I hear people say you have to show your amenities first. Like,
right.
No, you don't. Why? Mm-hmm. Why do you have to show your amenities first? Maybe, like I always say, put your best foot forward. I need to get you interested in my property, and I should show my amenities, especially if they're top of the line amenities in that first five photos.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily in my scroll stopper, because if my scroll stopper is blending in, and usually it's blending in with color. And so that's naturally how things blend in because we're scrolling so fast. That's all we're seeing.
Yeah.
Right. Typically, yeah. Like as a consumer, we're scrolling really fast and we only are seeing the color. The color is what grabs us to stop. Mm. Then I want to lead with my best foot forward. I want to lead with the best features, amenities of the property. And then I'm going to take you through that walkthrough.
What do you think about someone that wants to have 9 photos? Like they have the 4 on the side in their big magnet photo. It's like split into 4s. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The collage style.
You know, I think collages can work really well if you've got the right collage setup. I've seen plenty of collages that just blend right into the crowd. And so a collage in and of itself does not stop the scroll. Mm. And so if you've got a good collage that can stop the scroll and even show the consumer a little bit more than what they had bargained for, but it stopped them, you know, and getting them into your listing and then ultimately getting them more interested. Great. Yeah. You know, you might have where that works well is if I can't highlight everything I want them to see when they click on this, like I need the collage has to stop the scroll. That's whatever magnet photo you choose. That's the only goal. Okay. Right. It needs to stop the scroll. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it needs to be bold enough to capture their attention. Mm. If a collage can do that, that's great, because what that allows you to do is now you've got 4 photos on a collage and you have 4 more photos that I can show. So if I have a property with a lot of amenities or some really cool rooms and maybe I'm like, man, it would be nice for them to see all of this. To get them to click more on, you know, stay in more photos, but it's not always necessary. And many times the collage individual photos are so small that I'd rather have a single photo that was more bold and more, you know, more scroll stopping worthy, if you will. Right.
Yeah. I'm totally with you. That was my thought process on just the size of the photos. Yeah. If it's going to be too much. Okay. Let's go on to this one because, I had another amazing question about the title or headline of your property. Once again, if you look at the Bradenton, Florida property that we were talking about just a second ago, it has like the amenities with like a plus sign breaking it up. Or some people will say, you know, comfy cabin, sleeps 5. And then there was some kind of, not a debate, but kind of just a lot of questions of how should this work? Should I just highlight some of my best things as well? Or should I like, should this be part of my brand? You know, should this have the name of my property?
I like to use it as a highlight of your main amenities. Okay. So if you've got amenities, fire pit, hot tub, pickleball court, sauna, whatever, just list those things out. Mm-hmm. They already know where the property's at. They already know how many it sleeps. They already know how many bedrooms it is. There's no reason to put all of that in there. Mm. If the name of your property is descriptive, and it highlights like the amenities. Like I have a property called the Lakeside Treehouse. Mm-hmm. We don't ever we'll put that in our headline. Mm-hmm. It is the name of the property, but it's also very descriptive, right? It's a property that's up on stilts, lakeside. You're up in the canopy of the trees, so that's a descriptive headline, right?
Right.
So we're using the headline to highlight, you know, major amenities, something unique about the property, those types of things.
Okay. Love it. Now, what about, let's go into this one, the role of reviews.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about this as well, but how much does it, I'm asking another percentage for some reason. I don't know why, but the percentage of value for reviews have in your own marketing. I mean, it's like a testimonial, right?
Yeah, it's huge.
I mean, that's huge. Right?
Yeah. As consumers, we live in a massive trust recession right now, right? Like people, we don't trust anything. There's so many scams around every corner. We don't, there's AI that makes everything look way better than it might be.
Yeah.
And so we're very skeptical as consumers. And so, but we naturally trust, like if you tell me about your property, I'm skeptical. I don't know if I believe it, but if somebody else tells me about your property, I'm more trustworthy. I'm going to be like, I believe when somebody else tells me about your property more than when you tell me about your property. So we like to use reviews in our descriptions, in our photos. We like to layer them everywhere. Third party validation is something that consumers naturally use to build trust that you're going to actually deliver what you say you're going to deliver. And it's huge in marketing, right? Yeah. Now, marketing is getting somebody, again, attract them. That's photos. That's everything stopping the scroll. Mm. Converting them has a combination of I need to sell what I've got. Or I have to do a good job of selling my product, the experience that I'm selling. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, that third-party validation helps convert those customers because it gives them the level of trust that, yeah, this is going to be good. If it was good for you, it's probably going to be good for me too.
I'm throwing a scenario at you. Okay. I have a great property.
Yeah.
I did the three steps, the three foundational pillars equally well. They're great, but I'm just not getting the reviews I wanted, right? What should I do to try and just get some reviews?
Are people staying there and they're not giving you reviews?
Yes.
Yeah. So the number one way we do it, we just give them a review first, right? Okay. And we're very proactive with reviews. We've been doing this for 15 years. I wrote about it in my book 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And where we say, hey, Jake, thanks so much for staying at the property. You've been amazing. You know, we know how important reviews are for you as a guest, that as much as they are for us as a host, we know they're important for you as a guest. And so we've gone ahead and left you a 5-star review. Thanks so much. We'd love to have you back. I know other hosts would love to have you. So right. We do that. And then naturally you're like, oh, that was nice. You know?
Yeah.
And so you think, and then we send you another little message and say, by the way, Jake, reviews are important to us as well.
Yeah.
If you had a 5-star stay, we'd love to, love to have that review from you. And so I already said something nice about you, that law of reciprocity kicks in. Mm-hmm. And ultimately we get reviews from about 85% of our clients who stay in our property.
Huge.
That's massive compared to industry average.
Okay.
And that's over thousands of properties.
Wow. All right. That was really good. All right, now we're going to kind of transition into this right here. I got asked while we were there in Tampa, should we make an Instagram for our property and maybe have like some influencers come and maybe highlight the property and just be posting about it on social media. And, I mean, we have some members that do that, and they do a phenomenal job. I want to shout them out, Amanda and Billy. You guys do amazing at the helm. I know you're probably watching, so you guys do fantastic. But for someone who maybe is not like that tech savvy, or they're not probably going to keep up with it, they're not going to post consistently and stuff, was this something that someone should have social media for their property?
Well, it depends on what your goal is, right? Yeah. If the goal is to get business from it, no, you're really probably not going to get direct bookings from your Instagram page. We've seen it over and over and over again. First of all, social media, it's like, I mean, the consumption of it is so fast.
Yeah.
And people have to see so much of it, right? And so you're constantly having to post about your property. Mm-hmm. And so if you enjoy it and it's fun for you and you want to have a page that highlights a lot of the stuff, great. I'm not saying you don't do it. You can have your guests go, you know, post their photos when they stay. Most people won't. Your influencers, you know, that are going to come stay in your property. Naturally, most of the time, even if they're a big influencer, they don't bring a lot of business to your property. What influencers do really well is they're good at content. They're really good at the photography. They're really good at, and what they do is really a lot of lifestyle photography, right? They're showing themselves doing things at different stuff. And so if you have an influencer and you look at their page, you're like, man, they do, you know, it looks like they have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Ask them to go take do their influencer stuff at your property for their page and then share it and let you use it on yours for your marketing. Right. So most of the time we don't even ask them to try to tag their group and everything else in for our properties. We're just saying, can we use the content in our own marketing? Right. And so, you did a great job of articulating how fun it was out of the pool or whatever, right? Influencers are naturally good at that. That's what they do, right? As a property owner, the chances of you turning an Instagram page into actually anything that actually supports direct bookings, as much as anybody wants to tell you that, I would love to see the results, because I know we have members with Instagram pages with over 100,000 followers, and they don't convert them to bookings.
Right.
And they're in all kinds of magazines. They're in all kinds of stuff. They get featured in a lot of different like design stuff, and it doesn't turn into bookings.
Wow.
Now, can it give a bit of that third party validation? Could it be a waterfall effect for, you know, layers of trust for a consumer? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right. There could be, like, they could say, hey, listen, they take this pretty serious. They got their Instagram page. They're posting all the time. I'm seeing it here. I'm seeing it there. Mm-hmm. And so there could be some secondary and tertiary like advantages. Mm-hmm. But if I build it to X amount and I go out and post, my property's available, here's book it. That doesn't happen very often. Mm-hmm. In fact, very, very, very little.
Right. Okay. Good to know.
And I'd love anybody, if you disagree, prove me wrong, send us a message and show me, because I've asked for, I'd love to see it work, and I'd love to reverse engineer how it works. We've yet to find out. Any organic postings are very difficult to turn into direct bookings.
Yeah, I would agree. Support at Vodacy.com. If you have any analytics on it, send it to us.
Yeah, send it over. We look at that stuff all the time, and I'd love to see something different.
What about discounts? Maybe it's a kind of a slow season, and you want to get some more reviews in or something, and maybe I'll just drop my price a little bit. Should I kind of discount my property? Yeah.
Pricing is a marketing tool, mm-hmm. right? And there's times where you say, hey, listen, I need to fill some gaps. Sometimes we were talking about in Tampa, there's many times where we skyrocket our price to get a little bit more exposure, right? Mm-hmm. And where we will go out and actually raise it significantly, and we start to get a lot of extra traction. Because when you see a market, and if your average price in the market, and all these, I'm looking at 5-bedroom properties or whatever, and they're all $800 a night, and I see one at $3,000 a night, and I'm on a map, and there's one that's way more expensive, we naturally click on those. Mm. And so a high price can actually be a phenomenal marketing tool to get people to book your property. Now, if you have a property that you don't give them a reason to pay you more, and consumers will pay more if you give them a reason. And so, if you give them a reason, sometimes you get some of those high price bookings. Mm. We sometimes won't park it there, especially if we're way outside of where our natural market is. But there will be times we use that for extra exposure. You'll be shocked at how much. Go get on RankBreeze, raise your prices, and look at how many extra views you got on your property. And when you're getting extra views, sometimes you get a little bit of a boost in some of the rankings. Now, if you don't convert them, so that's why I say you don't want to do it long term if you're not going to convert any of them, because then you'll kind of bump back down. But you can get a lot of extra eyeballs by raising that price. Lowering the price in a slow season, everybody's lowering their price, so it doesn't usually give you that big of a boost. Usually where we use discounts is for repeat customers. When somebody coming back during our launch phase. So if it's a brand new launch phase, sometimes we'll do that and we'll use it to in our newsletters for repeat customers, people that are already in our world on our list for some direct bookings.
Mm. Okay. Good to know. Last two here as we're starting to wrap up. All right. So we've talked about, possibly running ads for your property.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
But I don't really want to talk about the actuality of like running ads. I wanted to focus on when should somebody start running those ads? When is it a good time to move into that process?
Yeah, that's a great question, because everybody wants to run paid ads. And that is on Instagram. That is on Facebook. So when you hear us on Instagram, Facebook, Google Ads, all of those places, and I tell you in one sentence, I said, don't do an Instagram page. And I'm talking about organic, like trying to build a following organically that doesn't turn into, but we use Instagram, Facebook all the time, specifically for direct bookings and for running paid ads. And however, you should not do it until you've had a lot of success and you're stabilized on the OTAs like Airbnb and Vrbo. The reason for that is those platforms have millions of people searching for properties and for stays and experiences on those platforms. And they're very intentional when they're there, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot easier to convert a consumer that is intentional about buying what you're offering than it is to go try to convert and attract a consumer on Facebook, Instagram, Google that is there scrolling anything probably but vacation rentals, right? So if you're not having success with a really easy targeted audience to convert, then it's very difficult to take that offering over to somewhere where it's a lot harder to convert.
Right.
And so, so the timing is after you're having success, after the property's got some momentum, after you know you've got an offer that converts, the consumer says, yeah, I like what you're offering. I like the price of what it is. I've stayed, you're getting those reviews. You know you've got an offer that the consumer likes. Then we start to say, let's add a little more fuel to that fire, take it over here, build out a direct booking campaign, and start to get a really nice ROAS on those platforms.
Okay.
But it's very difficult if you're not very difficult. You won't. I've yet to see somebody struggle on the OTAs and be able to do better or survive on direct booking platforms.
Yeah. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Last question here. For marketing, we've talked about attracting, converting, retaining. We've talked about those.
Yeah.
But what I'm really curious, the ultimate goal of marketing, is it I want a higher occupancy. I want higher prices. I want people to remember me. And so they come back. But like, what's like, is there one ultimate goal, or is it kind of encompass all those things?
No, it encompasses everything, right? Okay. At the end of the day, the ultimate goal with our marketing is to be able to maximize the conversions and the successes and the use, like the, right, the when we attract, convert, retain those customers. Right. Marketing is trying to maximize my potential of this property that I just bought and this experience that I just curated, right? So marketing is being able to say, how can I now take the best of marketing to articulate this at such a level that I've absolutely maximized the price I'm willing to charge, the occupants I have, and really maximize the potential of the asset and the experience that has already been invested in.
So this is to push forward all the things that you've already done for months prior, locating the property, underwriting, setting it up. This is the time to really push.
Yeah. And then it's having the systems in place that's now you create some stability with that asset. It's like, okay, now I've got the system. I've got the marketing in place now, and the marketing machine's built to where I consistently can continue to produce and maximize that asset for the long term.
Okay.
But it is about those three things. It always comes back to marketing is it's working on one of those three things, and really a lot of times a combination of it. But I'm trying to attract those new people. I'm trying to convert the people who are seeing my product, and I'm trying to retain the ones who have already been there.
I love it. That's everything I had for today.
Okay. There's a lot of layers to it, right? Like we were in Tampa. We do full day workshops, multi day workshops just on marketing. And so it's not like we're going to cover all of those layers, but we've got machines built for every one of those. We've got machines built for attraction. We've got machines built for conversion. We've got machines built for retention. And so we're doing all of that all the time. But the ultimate goal is to maximize the asset that we just invested in.
Yeah, this seems like a foundational principle that things sprout off of, you know?
Yeah, and it's it's a three-legged stool though, right? You take one of the legs away of a three-legged stool, the stool's falling over.
Yeah.
So it's right property, right location, unique experience for a target audience delivered, and the experience is part of the delivery, and that's why management's in that part, right? Creating a unique experience for a target audience and then articulating it to that audience in your marketing. You remove any of those legs of the stool falls over. Those are the foundational pieces of a really successful short-term rental portfolio.
Okay, well, let's do this. If somebody's struggling with one of those three pieces, email us, support@vodicy.com. You've made it this far. If your property is it doesn't have one of those, we can identify it, audit it, get you back on track.
Yeah. Email us in. We'll do an audit for you.
Yeah.
We do them all week long.
Or hop on a webinar. Webinar link in the bio as well. Every Tuesday and Thursday, those are going.
Yeah.
So
Tuesday, Thursday webinars. Jump on the link in the bio and jump on that webinar. Get your questions answered on there, and then attend the actual workshop of really diving into those three legs of the stool, right? Those three foundational pillars of short-term rental investing.
Love it. That's all I have for today.
Okay, guys, we'll wrap it up. We are back in action. Oh, Tampa. I'm missing Tampa already.
Yeah. Cold. It was so cold this morning, too.
We don't have any snow, but it was I was driving through the canyon. It was 9 degrees. I was like, sunny, but 9 degrees.
No, it's not
same. Tampa was not 9 degrees.
No, it's not
beautiful.
Same.
So we'll wrap up, you guys. Appreciate you spending time with us. We know it's valuable. Always appreciate you spending it with us. If you have more than 30 seconds, like it or review it on whatever platform you're watching or listening on, and share the show with somebody you think might be interested in walking into this game with their eyes wide open. And the final most important thing I ask you at the end of every episode, and that is to pick that one thing you can do today. Start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey Grace, is there a website? Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit vodicy.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.